Hey, All Things Montessori community. It's so nice to be here. So nice to say hello. It's been a long time. And I just want to thank all of you for your patience, you know, becoming a mother, recovering from birth and going through postpartum, going back to work. All of that has just really taken so much of my energy, but I'm really excited to get back to it. I'm starting off my return to All Things Montessori with an amazing interview with one of my dearest and longest friendships. I have the amazing Leah O'Connell on the podcast today. She is a child and family photographer. She's based in Charlottesville, Virginia, and I have known Leah since we've been around 6 years old. We were in choir together. She is so wonderful, and her style of photography is very in tune with Montessori, and the way that she parents her children is very in tune with Montessori. So I thought it was sort of a no-brainer to have her on the podcast. You know, we're always trying to take pictures of our children, trying to capture childhood and things like that. And she's a real expert in that. So I really think you will love, love this episode. One quick announcement before we get started. I am launching a little offshoot of All Things Montessori. Since I'm not in the classroom right now, I'm still doing Montessori content, but since I'm not a teacher, I feel that I want to sort of lean into sort of what I'm up to right now in the Montessori space, which is parenting. So I'm going to have a little side podcast within a podcast, if you will, called All Things Parenting. And it's just going to be interviews with, you know, other parents and some experts. I'm really excited. This parenting journey through a Montessori lens has been a remarkable journey for me so far. It's had a lot of challenges, but it's had a lot of growth. And I'm really, really excited to share that. And I can't wait for you to hear this amazing interview with the incredible Leah O'Connell. I am so excited today to have Leah O'Connell here with me. She is the founder, CEO, photographer extraordinaire of Firefly Photography, which is based in Charlottesville, Virginia. She is also conveniently my best friend of like 30 plus years. So I'm so excited that she's here. Welcome, Leah.
Thank you. This is fun.
Yeah. How are you?
I'm great.
This is actually kind of a throwback because Leah and I used to make countless videos and like, I don't even want to get into the things that we would do. So it's funny to be on this kind of like professional-ish medium.
Made our jobs what we did as 13-year-olds?
I'm not surprised, honestly. It makes sense to me.
Exactly. I think more people should do that.
I do too. Yeah. I mean, I think that's the point. So I always ask everybody what their Montessori story is when they come on All Things Montessori. And this is a little bit different because I know you're not a Montessori teacher or anything, but you include a lot of Montessori elements in your life. So I'm going to give the floor to you to answer that question.
Yes. It is interesting. I'm not a Montessori educator. My kids do not go to Montessori schools. I never went to a Montessori school. So how does this fit in? And really, I think it's because my work as an artist and an entrepreneur actually is really grounded in some of the values that are threaded through this type of education. What I do is really inherently about seeing and celebrating people, including children. I'm a family photographer, and that's sort of one of the cores of how I got into family photography to begin with. So my Montessori story is maybe a little bit unconventional in Montessori. I also am a mom to three kids, and kind of how we do things in our home is influenced by a lot of different elements. And I would say that I think we've had through our conversations, you've actually enlightened me to so much of like, oh, that's kind of how we do it in the classroom or things like that. So yeah, there's just so many threads between art and family life. And that's sort of what my whole inspiration and work is all about.
I think it's so fascinating. One point that's really fascinating to me is that let's not forget you have your master's in education. Like, let's not forget. And, you know, it's kind of coming full circle, I think, a lot through one with motherhood. I think that a lot of that, I think we've both talked about how like teaching in a public school model or things like that didn't really fit.
for you, you know, like they didn't, it didn't really work. Right. But then like through having your own children, starting your own business, living in Hawaii, all of these amazing adventures that you've been on. I really think that you've become like in tune with how you want to parent, how you want to educate. And it doesn't have to be technically quote Montessori or not. It's what works for you. And it's intuitive to how you are as a mom, as a photographer. And that's what Montessori is. It's literally listening to the needs of a child, listening to the needs of yourself, fostering independence, all of those values that I know you uphold.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because when we kind of look back through the threads of our lives, they're always going to be twisted paths with career, with family, with friendships, with all of these things. And they influence the value systems that we bring into each of those columns. So it, to sort of back up, you mentioned that I have my master's in education, and I do have envisioned myself leaning into the public school education system. When I was going into college, I always was trying to get into media arts and design, and that's how I always saw myself leaning. But for whatever reason, I couldn't break into that field. I couldn't get accepted into the school.
Oh my God, and I remember that.
Yeah. And on the side, the famous quote, on the side, I was doing what I really love, which sure. I was working in portrait studios. I was photographing at summer camps. I was writing and blogging. And I was like, why can't I get into the school? Why can't I get into the school? And then, so I was like, come time to decide your major. And I was like, you know, I remember this like moment of me being like, well, there's nothing more creative to me than teaching, than trying to develop and work collaboratively with children and growing, you know, and learning. It's just like the most creative act. So I was like, I bet that I can bring all of these things that I am passionate about into the classroom. And that was what was really exciting about teaching to me. So that I started kind of going down that route and realized pretty quickly that that wasn't exactly how it worked in the public school system. And it was very, there was a lot of tension for me, like, inwardly, because I was like, I want to do it this way and I'm not allowed to. There's always going to be barriers and requirements and things, I think, in any school system. But when we did move to Hawaii and we moved in the middle, like right at the beginning of the school year, this tiny island, I couldn't get a teaching job in the public school system. So I was substituting and started shadowing photographers and kind of led into that alternative route for my business. I've never looked back. But it's just like, it's so funny because now, 10 years later, I am teaching. I'm teaching photographers and I'm teaching in my family. Like, I believe, you know, you are a huge proponent of this. I know, but like so much learning happens in the home just through the natural like ebbs and flows of your family life. And my kids attend public school, but it is by an intentional choice that we keep them there out of both necessity and, you know, just curiosity of like, we know that these are equal parts, our home and our kids' home and school lives. So what can we do on our home end to influence their curiosity, to help them follow their like threads of interest and like set things up in a different way to give them more of a rounded view of what's possible and to just love learning. That's like the most important thing for us. Just
oh my gosh. That's like, that is a cornerstone of what Montessori education is all about, because when you love something, you want to learn it. Like if you love the multiplication tables, like you're going to love doing it. I didn't love them growing up, but I learned to love them through teaching. And Leah, I have to say, like, education does not start and stop in the classroom. It's all the time. Parents are a huge part of their child's education. I would say they are maybe the most important part because it doesn't just stop when they get in the car. It continues that I used to do all these parent talks about how you can implement Montessori in the home, and it seems intimidating, but really it's just maybe with the work of the home, showing them how to I don't know, wash a dish or something, or mm-hmm. or maybe you go outside and look at different leaves in the fall, or maybe you do some bird watching, or maybe it's as simple as playing with the dog and then looking up what kind of dog you have and then, you know, going from there. There's so many little things, because learning, you're right, it's happening all the time. These children, they're sponges. They want to learn everything. I mean, you have an elementary mm-hmm. age child, Kira, who I literally cannot believe she's 9. Is that right?
She is 8. Yes. What? She's second grade.
Insane. I still think she's like 2. But, you know, I'm sure she's asking 1,000 questions to you all the time, because she just wants to know everything.
They are there. And that is, you know, part of how you set up your home too, is just making sure that there's space to allow those questions to not be brushed over.
Yes.
So that's been really, my husband, Matt, and I are both entrepreneurs, problem solving and curiosity and taking alternative ways of trying to, like, that is a cornerstone value for us, because it's how we built our whole life. So
right.
It's so important to us to acknowledge when they have those questions. And then just from the artist side, like, what I do in my work is all about seeing things mm-hmm. and noticing and slowing down. And so it kind of lends well to what you were just saying of like, oh, I wonder why that is the way it is, and then figuring it out and kind of going down that rabbit hole. And kids are like, my kids are 8, 4, and 9 months. So there's a very large spread. And it's very interesting to see, one, how they teach one another, but also like how their questions differ and mm-hmm. expand through the age. So it's so fun to kind of tailor my responses to like what's appropriate for this age, or what can they understand, or maybe I'm gonna give my 4-year-old the 8-year-old answer and like see how he responds. And usually, like, just being curious from both the child's end and my end has been
absolutely
so fun to see. Like, it's teaching me so much, mm-hmm. teaching me so much about just what what they're curious about, and helping us build like a relationship around honoring and like celebrating what they're curious about.
I mean, curiosity is something that will keep you young and energized forever. You know, I mean, I think one of the things that I see so often with parents, which now that I'm a mom, I mean, my child is only, he's 7 months in a few days, so he's not asking questions yet, but it's so easy to say, to just give a quick answer, say, I don't know, or, you know, I can't think about that right now because we're exhausted, you know, but what if you said, I don't know, what do you think? Or just ask a leading question. Like, let's say your child is looking up at the night sky and there are stars or something like that. And you just ask a question like, I wonder how far away that star is, or I wonder what that star is made of, or I wonder what's up there. Wonder, curiosity, astonishment, those things of being a child. I mean, if I think about my childhood, and Leah, we had very similar childhoods. We were like outside all the time playing. Imagination was huge. We were really into the arts. I think of my childhood as that my childhood was such a creative time mm-hmm. because it's like everything is kind of limitless. You're just always imagining what could be. So I think that curiosity is like, I don't know, it's probably what it's for me. It's kind of what it's all about, you know, like staying curious and not mm-hmm. being stagnant, not being like, oh, well, I guess that's just the way it is. Okay. I won't think about it anymore. It's that like passion, that curiosity, that wonder, you know?
Well, and it's so easy to say that about kids. Like, we admire that about them, and we're fortunate that we had childhoods like that and that we are able to give our kids that. But like, as grownups, we like so easily fall out of that curiosity. And yeah, totally. So much about instilling it in our own kids is modeling it ourselves. Mm-hmm. And when we can look at the world around us, and when we can have the space around us to like, they are just soaking up us. So I think we forget about that sometimes, about how we treat ourselves, how we hold ourselves, how we explore for ourselves, how we learn for ourselves is setting an equal foundation for them to say, to see what matters, and to also want to push their own boundaries and be kind of self-motivated to do that as well. So it's not all our responsibility as the parent to do that, but to like kind of just set the table.
Yeah.
For them to be able to start asking those questions on their own without, you know, eventually to start asking those questions and be inspired by what they are seeing mm-hmm. in the home and in their teachers and in their neighbors. And so when we can be the ones to lead them into those environments, it's not all our responsibility to like be the one person, you know?
It's oh, like, totally.
So much available. And like, we have to also be responsible for ourselves to be curious and be yes. exploring and trying new things. And because that's like, last night I was cooking dinner and my daughter said, "Mommy, why did it take so much longer to cook dinner today?" She was helping me. She was like making the vegetables and stuff and like putting them in little, she likes putting them in little like cupcake holders and like presenting them and
oh,
stuff.
That's so cute.
She was doing that. And she was like, "Why did it take you so long to do your job over there?" And I was like, "Well, I tried a new recipe and it did not work. And so we're kind of making it up. What do you think we can do with this that didn't turn out the way that I thought it would?" And we were just on the spot, like problem solving. So
sure.
it's like in, but she saw me trying something new and not being afraid. And that's just super important, I think, in every element of life, to just be humble and be like, "I'm going to mess up and I'm going to try new things and it's going to be fun and we don't have to get upset about it." Just makes such a difference.
It sure does. And I will say also, I think it's incredibly difficult and it's not always going to be, for me personally, like, kids are so honest that sometimes their curiosity, like Kira asking, "Why is it taking so long to make dinner?" Oh man, that if it was on a wrong day, that could totally send me into a spiral.
Very gone on the other direction,
right? Like, for sure, so, yeah. But they're just so honest because they're just literally observing what they're seeing, mm-hmm. and it's so important, I think, sometimes to take a breath, just in the classroom. Oh my God, I remember one time, I loved this child so much. But she was very honest. And I guess I just like hadn't really gotten that ready that morning. And she seriously was like, "Did you brush your hair?" No. And like, oh, I had, but like, yeah. It didn't look great. And I will never forget that because I was like,
so offended.
Wow. But yeah, so I'm just saying like, yes,
it's that's a really good point.
But yeah. No, not to like dismiss what you're saying at all, because most of the time, yeah. Problem solving and being curious and acknowledging that, but
yeah, and it sounds like so elite. Like, here's how we're going to be, and that is like the ideal, sure, and on a great
dinner.
Yeah, there's also like the equal. I remember in another dinner time is always where it happens. There's so much happening.
There's so much happening. It's chaos.
It was when we had our youngest, who was only a few months old, and I'm trying to juggle, get everybody dinner, and we were having waffles that night. It was like not even
love it
fancy, but you know, as somebody's asking for a fork and somebody's like, "Can I have this?" Or "Can I get," and I just like shouted at them. It's like, I'm doing a lot right now.
Yep.
And so it's not, you know, I'm not trying to be like, I am always calm. I'm just saying like, you know, when we can have that
great
idea, like when, yeah,
yes,
it's so like almost just like knowing is yeah. part of it. Just be like, this is what we're working towards.
Yes. And I will say this actually transitions to my next question, because I love the way you photograph. What we're talking about right now is being real. And I love the way you photograph because you are all about real, mm-hmm. real moments. You've done some photographs for my family, for me. And one thing you always say is that, you know, don't worry about like, you don't need to spot clean your house. You don't need to be dressed to the nines. You're all about, yeah, these are professional photos and like you want to mm-hmm. look good, but also it's about capturing those like real moments. So what mm-hmm. kind of led you to that space in photography?
Thank you for saying that, for noticing that. That is definitely my whole angle.
I love it.
And there's so much unraveling that needs to happen. With how we're kind of preconditioned to see professional photographs. So I kind of, when I got started, I started in mall studios, I think I mentioned when I was like a teenager. Yeah. And that was even a thing. I don't even think that exists anymore. But when I started my business, I kind of got this impression that weddings were the only way to be a professional photographer. Yeah. But I just wasn't drawn to that as much as I was interested in families and children in that relationship. So when I started working in summer camps and in the classroom, I started noticing some patterns with how people would speak to kids. Mm-hmm. And then from the other side, as a photographer, I'm sort of a third party. I'm noticing a lot, right? So noticing how they're being spoken to and then how they're being responded, how the kids are responding.
Sure.
And there was so much self-consciousness happening and so much like of the kids wanting to do quote unquote the right thing, but mm-hmm. not really knowing what was expected of them. And it kind of came, I saw that trickling into how they would stand in front of me and how they would be photographed, because they would just be so like, you know, the say cheese, am I standing the right way? They would expect me to tell them like,
what to do.
There was so much mm-hmm. like, am I doing it right happening there? And I just wanted to say like, you're just be you, like you are right. You are exactly who you need to be. So that kind of became a personal mission that even though I'm not like in the classroom, I'm just a drop in the bucket really to these kids. But I kind of felt that if I could be one access point to helping them feel better when they're mm-hmm. seen instead of worse or self-conscious, then that would be a very worthwhile like way for me to pursue this this career. So that's sort of like the bones of it and what I weave into my work to this day. Like it's been a constant like development of trying to figure out more and more, how can I help people feel more alive as and comfortable in their own skin through this process and not feel like they need to be anything other than they're not, like that they're just wonderful and loved and seen and admired, and like to see how their people look at them. You know, we don't often see, like we see ourselves in the mirror, but we don't often get to see how other people see us. And that is one of the beautiful things about photography, is that when done well, we get a piece of that. And that is such fuel to so many other things in our life.
I love that. I mean, I have memories of being photographed and just, I mean, insecurity. I mean, you hit the nail on the head. It's just, you feel awkward. Like it's weird. Like you're dressed up maybe in something that you don't want to be dressed in. And I will speak to this personally. You did my maternity photos, which was arguably mm-hmm. the most insecure I've ever been in my life. And I felt extremely comfortable. And I love my pictures, you know. Mm-hmm. I was so hesitant to even do it because it's so hard to photograph yourself in a bigger shape, especially pregnancy. It's a really vulnerable time. It's like you look in the mirror one day and you're like, what is what? Like, where is my body?
Yeah.
It's all different, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think that realness is just, oh, I love it so much. So you have actually kind of woven your way into doing school pictures mm-hmm. For some schools, but you do them in a different way. So can you talk to that? Because I love the way you do it. It's so cool.
I do. I work with schools on a couple. I do like a round in the spring and then a round in the fall with different schools. And they're mostly like alternative education. I work with like forest schools, some Montessori schools, because the standard model of school photography is what most of us are familiar with. It's created for efficiency. It aligns with the factory model of school, and it was created for that system. So it does its job logistically, but not emotionally.
Yeah.
So it really, that model skips over personality entirely, and it focuses on the outward appearance first. So kind of, I like to go in the back door with that. And my whole approach is we shoot outside. It's very playful. I only spend, you know, a minute or two with each kid, but it is, I mean, I don't care if you want to wear that hat. Great. If you want to hold your lovey, awesome. If you want to, you know, from babies up to, you know, teenagers, we're working with all ages and making it be a celebration of who they are. And some kids are naturally more comfortable in front of the camera than others, obviously. But there's just another way to do it. And I like to just take a lot of the pressure off. There's no backdrops. There's no big lighting. There's no, you know, pressure to the whole thing. And the results are so fun because the kids remember me year after year and they're excited to come get their pictures taken. The parents love the photos because some of them have never seen a picture of their kid, like a portrait of their kid that is like really high quality, but also like, that's them. Like I see my kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not like that. You know? So it's been a really fun little aside to the family work that I really do because it helps me work with lots of different kids too. Like kids are so different, each one, and you treat them all the same and all just like boom, 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 boom. This is what all of you are going to be doing. It's just so unfair. So
yeah,
it's been really fun to help me learn how to engage with kids and just to read them so much more quickly. Like, what do you need? How do you need my energy or my like tone? Like what's going to serve you well right now in these 2 minutes? How can I help you feel seen and understood?
What a gift you're giving these children. That is such an incredible way to approach photography. And also to these little, is it elementary or preschool age? Or is it both?
The youngest, I think, I mean, I've done daycares, babies all the way up through like seniors in high school.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, I was just trying to think, you know, when you get into elementary, it's sort of those little later years when you're kind of reaching into adolescence, that whole body insecurity really starts to come out. There's this line in Amy Schumer's book, Yes, Please, which if you haven't read it, please read it. And she says, if you ever want to see something so beautiful, go watch a group of 8-year-old girls playing on a playground. because they don't care. Mm-hmm. They don't care. Mm-hmm. There's no makeup. There's nothing. They're free, you know? And I love that line because it's so true. And so I think it's just so beautiful that you're, this is very Montessori. That's why I wanted to have you on, because the way that you photograph is extremely Montessori, because you're calling to the needs of that specific child. You're making them feel seen. You're celebrating who they are and kind of noticing, okay, they want to wear that hat. Sure. I don't care. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. I think that we kind of, as a society, get stuck into these little columns of the way things are supposed to be. And I just think that there's such freedom and, seeing a child for who they are. So,
yeah. And I think we also like tying it full circle with the collaboration between the school and home. We as parents play into this so easily over the years, like you were just saying, like, okay, we have to get, it's picture day. We have to get picture ready. And the idea of like, what's photo worthy, and which is the term that I hate most of all in this world, because it's just so, it's just like in one phrase, like saying what is worthy and not, based on appearance. So and it's not on purpose and everyone does it. Like it's just so baked into our culture to say those things and to want to appear like a certain way. So I would just really love to see more parents embrace the same like type of openness towards, see, like, this is what we all want. We're all team,
right?
Celebrate personality, like celebrate our kids, you know, we're all on the same team. So from the parent side, like your kids getting ready for picture day, like, yeah, sure. Wear that tie-dye shirt. Awesome. Is that what you love?
Yeah.
Can't wait for you to see that in 10 years and be like, yes, you picked that out for picture day. Let them have that ownership, you know?
Yeah.
Celebrate kids being kids. There's, I mean, obviously there's the line of hygiene and personal care and self-respect and all of those things.
Yes. But
those bases come before, you know, like those are all, if those bases are established, then picture day is just another day to, that you get to say like, today is an awesome day and it's going to be a little bit different. Here's what's going to happen. But I'm so excited because now we get to have pictures of who you are. And like, I can't wait to see what silly faces you make. I encourage kids to like make silly faces. And what always happens is as soon as they're done making their silly face, they give their real laugh.
They laugh. I was just going to say it. Yeah, of course. Totally.
We're not going to force them to be who they're not. And that's just really fun for all parties involved.
Yeah, no, it sounds great. I love it. What advice would you give parents? We all have smartphones. A lot of people have smartphones. Mm-hmm. Not everybody has them, but it's a pretty standard thing to have a phone nowadays that takes pretty incredible pictures. Mm-hmm. What would you say to parents about the importance of actually getting professional photos of your child when someone might be like, oh, well, my iPhone takes great pictures? What would you say to somebody in that? Because I know pictures are expensive. Mm-hmm. So like, what's your like pitch for that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's two different lines. It's not an and or it's not an either or, because we have the luxury of being able to photograph with our phones, and that's a great thing. It's actually the quantity of iPhone photos that I find that I take issue with. And that, you know, we should be taking photos of our kids with our iPhones. That's wonderful, but not like every second of the day.
Yeah.
But the difference is that when you are on the other side, when you are not directing it, when you're not like, you know, the iPhone photos are in the midst of your everyday in-between life. When you have the chance to have someone else come in and see you, how you can't see yourself, how you, like from an outside perspective, that third party is eye-opening, because when you can receive photos and you were on the back end of it, you weren't, you know, like in the middle of, you know, your life and your daily, all the things, chaos, and you've taken the moment to say, this is important to me and we're all going to be together. And I'm going to soak this in. You know, it's not a stress ball of like, get your hairbrush and blah, blah, blah. It's just like, okay, we're making the time and space. When you often hiring, you've probably found this in many other areas of your life. When you've purchased something, you've put your money on the table, with clothing, with materials, with anything. When you say exchange money for value, like this is important to me.
Yeah.
You receive that on the back end. You see why, like what you, you get it back. And in the case of photography, what you get back is seeing your life from a different perspective, from that 30,000 foot view, from seeing what's important to you and taking a moment to recognize like that beauty and the simplicity of your life and your people.
Yeah.
We just make it so busy and so much mess around everything. Yeah. And the act of hiring a professional to come in and take photos of your family, it can be really fun. It can be really a really eye-opening experience to give yourself and your family for, you know, years, for them to be like, oh, this is how my mom looked at me. This is how, you know, it just makes me like cry. Like I am so passionate about it because like, we don't get that, you know, as parents, you don't get to see that a lot. A lot of people think that family photography is like, so you can see your kids grow. And like, it is, there's so much, you know, like self-esteem and all of that we've talked about that goes into it, but it's also so much for the parents. And I think we glaze over that a lot. Like for the parents to see, like, we're doing it. We're doing okay.
Yeah. Right. Like we did it.
We're doing okay. And we love each other and here we are. And like, this is important to us. And yeah, that's just like that being seen is important and a valid desire.
No, I think the parents is such a great element. And when you did the photo shoot for my parents, and our family, and we're not little kids, you know, it was my parents were retiring. So my sister and I wanted to give them a photo shoot. They talk about those photos literally still all the time. And this was like 3 years ago, but it was so amazing for them to be photographed.
And it's, we see a lot of times very short-sighted about like, I need these photos for my Christmas card, or sure, I need these photos because, you know, it's this kid's birthday or this specific milestone.
Right.
And those are totally fine reasons to sure get family photos made. But like, we kind of glance over the fact that like, when well done, these are going to make your heart pound 15 years from now, yeah, when you're like thinking about so how true far you've come, you know?
Yes, 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 1,000 times. Okay. So to close us out, even though we could talk forever, we usually do. I have one question for you. It's just something I'm curious about. Mm-hmm. It's a really hard question to answer, but what's one of your most favorite or memorable photo shoots and why?
Oh my gosh.
I know. You've done like 1,000, but
just follow me on that one. You don't need a minute to think.
I know. I didn't send that in the email of the prep questions.
That's okay. Gosh, I've had so many. There's, you know what really stands out to me is it's funny because a lot of my work is focused on joy and celebrating joy, and we see that in the photos. But some of the sessions that have stood out to me the most is when they were instigated by a season of pain.
Oh wow.
And that being a kid with a terminal diagnosis, a parent who is not going to make it that much longer. And that's hard to talk about because the mortality of our life is like something nobody really wants to talk about. But
right,
it's, you know, the happy photos have an even more deep-rooted,
yes,
importance somehow when we see that so clearly. And I have photographed several sessions, even in the past few years, with both children who were sick, and I photographed families who, after our sessions, have lost children, tragically. And those sessions stand out to me. I see the photos and what we made in those moments, not to be such a downer, but,
it's
like, wow. You don't even realize like,
yeah,
you know, the light that you have and the people around you have, until something like that happens. So those sessions really, really stand out to me.
Totally. That is so meaningful and powerful. Even though maybe there's pain associated with those specific shoots, it is captured joy. And that's like the whole point.
And that's the thing too. It's like you go into it with like such reverence and gratitude for what family is and what love is. And it just makes it so much more real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't think I'd be crying on this podcast interview, but I loved it. Oh, well, thank you so much for coming. I can't wait to have you back, just because I think there's some more we could dig into. But I want you to be able to tell people where they can find you. I will also put it in the show notes, but you can see your spiel.
I'm Firefly Photography. You can find me at lofirefly.com. On Instagram, fireflyphoto_Leah. Hanging out at that place sometimes here and there.
Sometimes.
Yeah. And if you're ever in Charlottesville, please come find me.
Yeah, she's amazing. You won't regret it. All right. Well, thank you so much. Love you.
Thanks.